This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, getting back into the swing of things. And since the special session of the Oregon State Legislature came and went during my trip to Italy, wanted to check in with one of our lawmakers and get more information about that. State Senator David Brock-Smith on. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to be here.
So,
welcome home.
Yeah, thank you. So let's talk about that special session. Did things go about like you expected?
They did, unfortunately. I mean, of course, the governor called the special session on August 29th, but our colleague, Senator Gorsuch, had complications after having back surgery and was unable to attend due to medical reasons. We went in for legislative days last Monday, and of course the special session was still continuing. Senator Gorsuch was there. They wheeled him in a wheelchair to cast the 18th vote for Governor Kotek's transportation increases. It was unfortunate. I was hopeful that we would be able to maybe get one of my Democrat lawmakers in the Senate to not support the package. Of course, the Senate Republicans put forward a alternative in both the bill form, because we were able to get a bill drafted because the Democrats didn't have the votes to pass the rules for the special session. So we were going underneath the rules on the Friday. They did, once they had their quorum on the Monday. So we submitted, of course, alternative through a piece of legislation through an amendment. We attempted to pull that to the floor as the alternative, and it was voted down by the Democrats. It would have legislatively given the governor the authority to reprioritize dollars within ODOT's existing budget so that we could go back to the table and discuss an overall transportation package for the short session next session, and would have kept the road maintenance and jobs associated with that road maintenance moving forward. As we've talked about before, Kyle, you have 30 senators, 18 are Democrats, 12 are Republicans, which then gives them what we call the supermajority. And if all 18 vote together, then they can raise taxes, of course, without a Republican vote. So that is what occurred on Monday. We sine-died on Wednesday after governor appointments to various boards and commissions when we do the confirmation process. And that also ended our legislative days that we have every 2 months.
So let's talk about specifics from the now legislation, the governor's proposal being enacted. Talk about some of these tax increases that Oregonians are going to face, and how soon do any of them go into effect?
Well, they'll go into effect when the governor signs the bill, my understanding, which he is delaying. The increases are a 6 cent a gallon gas increase, a double of the payroll tax from 0.1% to 0.2%. Those resources, of course, go to fund public transit. UPTD, transit services for Douglas County, Roseburg. There's increases in title and registration fees as well that are quite a lot of increase. There's also a road usage charge on EVs and hybrid vehicles as well that is actually needed. Heavy vehicles like EVs impact the road, but they don't pay for road maintenance through gas tax. But the title and registration fees and so forth, I mean, we're looking at roughly over $4 billion over the next decade in taxes increases, and nearly it's about $800 million to nearly $1 billion biennium. So they're quite a dramatic increase for everyone. And my argument has always been these increases are going to negatively impact our rural Oregonians more than have to drive farther for goods and services than those of our urban counterparts, as well as the lower income that they have. You know, individual median incomes in Coos Kerr and Douglas counties range between $31,000 and $33,000 a year. And so when you look at constituents in Port Orford, for example, that have to drive an hour either way to get to a Fred Meyer, they're not driving the most newer and up-to-date fuel-efficient vehicles. And so they're spending more to save more by shopping in a larger community.
Let's look at the aspect that you mentioned, the electric vehicles and the hybrid change of status there. Now, while electrics aren't paying gas tax, folks in hybrids are. They're just paying less because they get better mileage. Did anybody balk at that idea?
Of course they did. But again, you have a situation where the governor, as she did when she was the Speaker of the House, basically forced her Democrat legislators to rank and file and support her legislation. She refused to have any conversations or negotiate with us and the Senate Republicans or in the House for that matter, which is rather unfortunate. And here we have it. The good thing is that our new Republican leader, Senator Bruce Starr, as well as Representative Ed Deal and Jason Williams of the Taxpayers Association, are prepared to file referral paperwork as soon as the governor signs the bill, which she has 30 days to sign the bill. And then that, at that point, of course, since we signed and died, is when the 90 days to refer, collect the roughly 78,000 signatures to refer it to the November 2026 ballot. There is a concerted effort to do that. It's going to be all hands on deck. And there's already a website up where you can sign up and get more information, and that is www.notaxor.com. And so we will be moving swiftly, raising resources to gather those signatures and get that done and on the ballot for November of 2024 to allow the people of Oregon to have a voice in what the Democrat supermajority just passed upon them.
Now, having gone through all of that, what's next for lawmakers?
Well, I mean, we're at this point gearing up for the short session legislation where each lawmaker is allowed two pieces of legislation for the 2026 legislative session. I'll be focusing mine on natural resources, mainly salmon habitat and fish. I come to salmon credit bill. We're gearing up for, we have to have those pieces of legislation to work with legislative council by the end of November. I'm gearing up for campaigns. As the Senate Republican deputy leader, it's, you know, one of the many duties is, and we have some fantastic candidates around the state and really have an opportunity, I believe, to gain seats, go from 12 to 14, which will be fantastic. We have great candidates in a number of districts within the state. As you know, senators, you know, they're a four-year term. So every 2 years, half of them run, and the other 2 years, the other half run. And so we have identified fantastic candidates and some fantastic and some great districts to gain the needed seats and get out of the super minority so that we can have a stronger voice in the legislative process.
All right, more when we come back. State Senator David Brock Smith, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. State Senator David Brock Smith on the phone with us as we look back at the recently completed special session of the legislature and look ahead at some other legislative topics as well. You mentioned being the deputy Senate Republican leader. Obviously, a lot of responsibility, probably a lot of time goes into that.
Oh, it does. You know, I mean, we have a great team of Senate Republicans. The 12 of us are pretty tight. And so just working with Leader Starr and our fellow senators on the issues that are important and gearing up for, again, as I mentioned, campaigns to raise our numbers in the Senate and allow our voice to be heard a little better.
Now, of course, recently you had one of the Senate members resign, and looks like former House Republican leader Christine Drazen is going to be applying for that seat. Do you see her having a leadership role in the Senate if and when she gets there?
I don't know. That would be up to her. But I do want to take this opportunity to give a huge shout-out to former Senate Republican leader Daniel Bonham. He was just an incredible leader and colleague and frankly, one of my dear friends. And I'm so proud of him. It was put on the U.S. Congressional Senate docket on October 2nd for his appointment to join another Oregonian who is the U.S. Secretary of Labor, Lori Chavez de Remer. Senator Bonham will be assistant secretary in Washington, D.C. for Secretary Lori Chavez de Remer. And so I'm so proud and happy for him and his family. He will do an excellent job, and having him in that position will only benefit Oregonians across the state in joining Secretary Chavez de Remer at the U.S. Department of Labor.
Now, as we get closer to the election cycle, obviously the governor's race is out there. How do you think that's shaping up?
Well, there's a number of individuals, Republicans, that have filed. Of course, when this happened in 2022, I think there was 18, a heat of 18, that filed for the governor's race. There will be more before the March deadline, I'm sure. I believe that I believe that the pendulum always swings back. It's happened in other states. I think that Oregonians across the state are frustrated with the current leadership and Governor Kotek. This transportation package that, of course, that she just passed without any Republican support was ridiculous. I think that even our suburban Democrat moms are feeling the pinch of the tax and spend policies. We're ranked in one of the worst states in the country for business friendliness. And things are costing too much. There's social policies that a lot of those individuals don't like as well, that seem to be impacting every Oregonian as they continue with those policies. And so I truly believe that we have a great opportunity, Kyle, to not only gain seats in both the House and the Senate, but have a true gubernatorial run. There's voter registrations that I've seen where Democrats are losing voter registration in the thousands in the state. And the Oregon Republican Party is dedicated to registering more Republicans in the state so that we have a louder voice with their vote in the coming election. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Glasses half full. I'll be out there. I know Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce are also fully committed to gaining the seats that we need in both the House and the Senate, so that we can stop these bad policies and possibly move forward with good policies that can bring more business friendliness to this state, bring some school choice, more options to for our youth, and bring about the change that is needed to turn Oregon around.
You know, I was remembering as you were talking about the governor's race last time around, I think we ended up with, was it like 27 candidates or something between the Republicans, Democrats, Green Party, Constitution Party, all of that. It was kind of a free-for-all, and, well, obviously, a lot of folks file knowing that they are going to get very small amounts of support. Do you anticipate something like that again?
Well, I do know that there are Democrats that have filed against Governor Kotek. If I remember right, it was 18 Republicans did file. So I don't know how it's going to shape out. I'm sure there will be a number, because again, people are frustrated. I mean, even people within Governor Kotek's own Democrat Party obviously are frustrated with her leadership. I just know that we have we just really have great opportunities. You did mention former leader Drazen. I look forward to her coming to the Senate. Of course, I worked with her in the House when I was there, and then, of course, as a senator. She is a dear friend and a fantastic legislator. So I am excited for her to come over to the Senate and work with us and become part of our team. She brings a wealth of knowledge and a great voice for Oregonians across the state. So it is sad that we're losing, of course, Senator Bonham, but he is going to be doing fantastic work at the U.S. Department of Labor with Secretary Chavez Dreamer. But the process has started for the appointment for that Senate seat. Former leader Drazen will be going through that process. It's going to be up to the PCPs within the Senate district and then the county commissioners within the Senate district to vote on who that appointment is going to be. It could be Representative Helfrich, who has already mentioned that he would like that seat many months ago. Because as you know, there's one Senate district has two state rep districts there. And so Senator Bonham's district had Representative Helfrich and Representative Drazen within his Senate district. So I look forward to the process. They have 30 days to complete it after the 5th of October. And I welcome Representative Drazen if she is successful, which I have no doubt, hopefully, that she will be.
And do you see another potential run for governor in her future?
Not sure. I leave that to, of course, Representative Drazen. She is a wonderful legislator. She was close in the last election. There's no doubt that I'm sure that she's contemplating it and having the having the discussions with key people. And again, you have until the deadline in March on whether or not that will occur. So there will be a lot more players in the game, I'm sure. And we'll have to wait and see what happens.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again soon. State Senator David Brock-Smith, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a great day.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.